بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. إن شاء الله, as was announced, we're going to be talking about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, this great prophet and messenger of Allah. And in this lecture today, I wanted to focus on one specific aspect of his life, which I feel is very important, especially in this society that we're living in. And that's the relationship Ibrahim alayhi salam had with his family members and how he interacted with them and how he treated them and how he spoke to them. And as a result of how he dealt with his family members, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reacted, and how Allah talks about those incidents in the Quran. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this specific aspect of Ibrahim alayhi salam's life is because, as I mentioned, we're living in a society where we don't really have as much of a close connection with our family members as maybe we used to. And I wanted to focus specifically on Ibrahim alayhi salam's relationship with his father, first of all, and also his relationship with his son Ismail alayhi salam, and the differences between the two relationships. But also, you'll see that there's similarities between those two relationships. Ibrahim alayhi salam being the constant, he's the one who's having this relationship with his father and also with his son, but also in the way that he would deal with them, in the way he would talk to them. And there's always lessons we can learn. And as I mentioned, because of how we aren't as close to our family members, whether it's because of the society we live in, you know, social media playing a big part of our lives, and we're socially connected, but we're disconnected with our family members as a result. You know, we don't have as much of a connection with our parents, possibly with our children. And you see a lot of breakdowns in families, relationships breaking down. And when we look at the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, there's many lessons we can learn, not just in terms of his da'wah and his steadfastness to his deen and to tawheed, but also in terms of family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he mentions the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and different aspects of the story in different parts of the Quran. And we also have a connection with Ibrahim alayhi salam because we're mentioning the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam in every single one of our salawat. This prayer we just prayed, we're mentioning the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam. كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. O Allah, send peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just like you sent peace and blessings upon Ibrahim and the family of Ibrahim. So we're always remembering, or we're supposed to be remembering, Ibrahim alayhi salam in our salawat when we make these supplications. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he regularly mentions in different parts the status of Ibrahim. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan qanita. Verily Ibrahim alayhi salam was an ummah. He was a nation in and of himself. Qanitan lillahi hanifa. He was somebody obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inclined towards the truth. Hanif, somebody who would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He was inclined towards the truth. وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And he wasn't from those who committed shirk. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam being somebody who used to worship Allah. And as we know about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he grew up in a time when there weren't any believers, there weren't any Muslims. Everybody was committing shirk, they were worshipping idols. As we know, his father used to worship idols and make idols, and it was a place where everybody was committing shirk. And so out of all the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose, Allah azza wa jal chose Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the question has to be asked, why was Ibrahim alayhi salam chosen? Why did Allah choose Ibrahim alayhi salam specifically? In the next ayah, Allah gives us an idea. And Allah says, شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ. He was somebody who was thankful, grateful for the blessings of Allah upon him. اِجْتَبَاهُ وَهَدَاهُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمِ. He was chosen and he was guided to the straight path. So you see this connection now between thankfulness, شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ. He was thankful with the blessings he was given, and being guided and being chosen and being guided to the straight path. So one of the first lessons we can learn from this ayah about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam is the importance of showing thanks, the importance of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Call out that verily if you are grateful, then I will increase you. Meaning if you're thankful to Allah for the blessings that you have, then Allah will give you even more. When you're not thankful to Allah for the blessings you have and you just want more, more money, more clothes, more fame, more popularity, a better career, a better job, you know, a better car, a bigger house, if you're always wanting more, you're going to forget about all the blessings which you have been given. And when you're not thankful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't increase you in guidance. So sometimes, you know, we might be driving in our cars and we stop at a traffic light and we see the car next to us and it's a nice, you know, Mercedes or a BMW, and we think to ourselves, and we're sitting in our Nissan Micras or Citroen Saxo or Ford Fiesta, and we think to ourselves, you know, I wish I had a car like that. This car. And you start comparing the cars. You look at that car, you look at your car, and you think, and you're not happy. Whereas you tend to neglect other people who may be looking at your car, and they're driving a car which is 20 or 30 years old. And maybe they park up next to you and they think, when they see your car, they think, I wish I had his car. It's all a matter of perspective. And so the person with the older car looks at your car, which is like an 04 plate, like mine, or a, you know, an early 2000 model, and they think, this car, I wish I had his car. Because for him, what he has isn't any good. And for us, when we have blessings from Allah and we see other people with more, we think whatever we have isn't very good. Meanwhile, somebody beside that person isn't even in a car. He's riding a bicycle. And he's looking at this 20, 30-year-old car and he's thinking to himself, I wish I had a car like that. You know, it's pouring down with rain. He's getting soaked. He's thinking, I wish I had a car like that. I wish I was in that car. Nice and dry and comfortable. I'd get to my workplace quicker. I'd get to school quicker. And then there's somebody who is walking in the rain, doesn't even have a bicycle. So again, it's all a matter of perspective. And he's complaining about the same thing. He's thinking, he's okay, he's on a bike at least. I wish I had a bike. And then you have somebody else who can't even walk. Somebody who's disabled. He's not able to walk. He's in a wheelchair. Now this individual, when you're in your car, and your car's not very new, you compare and you look at, in fact, all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how He's given you these blessings which all of those people don't have. That's thankfulness. You're thankful to Allah. And this is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, always look at those who are beneath you, not at those who are above you. Except with regards to good deeds. When there's good deeds to be done, then always look at those who are better than you so you can be encouraged. Whereas with this dunya, always look at those who are beneath you, because then you're thankful. And when you're thankful to Allah, you're basically, in essence, worshipping Allah. Thankfulness is a type of worship, inner worship, just like fear of Allah, just like hope in Allah, etc. So this quality of thanks is what Ibrahim alayhi salam had. And Allah increased him in guidance as a result of this. Because when you're thankful to Allah, you're remembering the blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and you're hopeful Allah will continue to bless you. And you're not complaining to Allah. You don't have su'ul dhan or bad thoughts of Allah as a result. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is someone who, as we know, grew up in a place where his father was someone who raised him initially in the religion of his own and the religion of those who were around him, where they were committing shirk. And in Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this relationship with his father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maryam, he says, وَذْكُرُ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Mention in the book the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Mention Ibrahim alayhi salam. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Verily, he was somebody who was a righteous man and he was a prophet of Allah. And this shows us how much Allah values righteousness and truthfulness. Siddiq. Siddiq is somebody who's truthful. Because Allah could have mentioned many different descriptions to describe Ibrahim alayhi salam, but he mentions truthfulness. One, because from the characteristics of a prophet is that he's truthful, but also because when someone's truthful, it's a praiseworthy thing to have, regardless of if you're a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Nobody likes a liar. It's something that, you know, causes a person to lose that status, that respect, regardless of if he's a Muslim or a non-Muslim. And so Allah, at the beginning, he tells us, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ. Mention in the book Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah here is telling us to constantly remember and reflect and review on the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Mention the story. Think about what's happening in his life. Look at the lessons that we can learn from it. And there are many lessons, as I mentioned, that we can learn, especially about his family and how he interacted with his family. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentions Ibrahim, he's mentioning Ibrahim, but he's also praising Ibrahim alayhi salam as well. And you could say that when a person mentions somebody he loves, when a person mentions somebody he respects, when somebody has good qualities and righteous attributes, a person should mention those good qualities, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising and mentioning the qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So he was a prophet of Allah, and he was somebody who was honest, he was somebody who was truthful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions this attribute of truthfulness with Ibrahim alayhi salam. And one of the scholars, Imam Sa'di, he said that Siddiq means the one who is truthful even in his actions. Because you have the Sadiq, somebody who's truthful. Siddiq is an emphasis on the word. And it's somebody who's truthful not just in his speech, but also in his actions. How can you be truthful in your actions? Imam Sa'di, he says, when someone does something and it complements what he says. So saying something which is truthful and then acting in the opposite manner, you're not really reflecting your words. You're not really reflecting the things that you say. You know, it might be considered two-faced. It might be a bit hypocritical. You know, if you're telling somebody, you know, smoking is bad, you shouldn't be smoking, and then he's smoking himself, and you're thinking, what's going on here? So when a person says something and he acts upon what he says, that's a sign of somebody who is a Siddiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he continues and he talks about the dialogue, the conversation Ibrahim alayhi salam has with his father. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ When he says to his father, يَا أَبَتِي, oh my dear father, لِمَا تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. Oh my dear father, why do you worship something that can neither hear nor can see, وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا, and you don't benefit from it in any way whatsoever? And just simply the way Ibrahim alayhi salam is talking to his father is something that we can learn from. Because there's ways in which we talk to people depending on who they are. So if we met a total stranger in the masjid and he approached us and he gave us salam, we would be very nice, respectful, show our best side. If he was a friend, you know, we would relax a little bit and maybe we wouldn't show our best side necessarily, because he's like, he knows you, you know him, you've known him for years, There's less care there and attention. When you're with your family, unfortunately the case is nowadays that you don't really care as much as you would if you met a stranger. You'd show more etiquette and manners with somebody who you met the first time as opposed to people in your own family. Whereas true manners and true akhlaq is how a person behaves with his family members. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِعِيَالِكُمْ. He said, the best of you are those who are best to their families. And another narration, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِنِسَائِكُمْ. The best of you are those who are best to your women's folk, to your women folk. So, in fact, how do we know a person has good akhlaq? Because, you know, everyone can have good character and good akhlaq with somebody they don't know. You know, the first time you meet somebody, you're not going to treat them badly, isn't it? But true akhlaq is when a person treats his family members, those people he meets day in, day out, his wife, her husband, the children, the parents, the cousins, the relatives, nieces, nephews, etc. Those people you meet on a regular basis, when you show good akhlaq to them, that's a sign of true etiquette and true manners. It's also the hardest thing, which is why Ibrahim alayhi salam, when his father was committing shirk, his father was making idols for people to commit shirk, one of the worst, greatest sin, the major sin that a person can commit. Ibrahim alayhi salam is showing this akhlaq and showing this etiquette. And if we reflect on, you know, our own family members and if they committed sins, and how would we react if we saw, you know, our child stealing, or we saw, you know, our sibling or somebody else swearing? How would we respond? We'd get angry. So what did you just say? And you embarrass them. You shout at them, isn't it? It just becomes part of nature. The way you deal with your family, it just becomes normal to speak in a certain way, which might not be considered to be good or showing the best akhlaq and the best etiquette. Yet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and this is his father, it's not a stranger to him. They've obviously lived together. Okay, he raised him. He's a young boy. He's coming into adulthood. And he has this akhlaq and this etiquette, even though he knows what they're doing is the worst sin they could ever commit. But he's showing this akhlaq. Ya abati. When you say abi, it means my father. When you say abati, it's an affectionate way of saying, oh my father, oh my dear father. It's like saying my dear father, my beloved father. There's affection. There's this respect. Even though he's somebody who's committing shirk. And this shows us, you know, just because somebody's committing a sin, it doesn't mean now that you be harsh with that person just because he's committing that sin. You know, even if it is shirk. Because even when Musa alayhi salam was sent to Fir'aun, Allah said to him, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. He said to him, go and speak to Fir'aun and speak to him with soft words. Be soft towards him. And that's something which, you know, it's not something that we're used to doing when we see somebody committing a sin today. We're very judgmental, we're very harsh, we're very strict. And you know, Fir'aun is basically, you know, committing shirk, claims to be God himself. He murdered and massacred babies because he never wanted his kingdom to be threatened. So just imagine, you know, imagine if it was Hitler, for example. You know, say to him, be nice to him, be soft towards him. It's not as easy as we think, you know, for someone to show this akhlaq and this etiquette. So he has this patience when he's giving da'wah to his own father. There's this element of patience when he's talking to his father. And it's mentioned that once a man came to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an, and this man was complaining about his son's disobedience towards him. And so Umar radiallahu an called the boy and he said, why are you doing what you're doing? Oh, your father's mentioned that you're disrespecting him or you're disobeying him. And so the boy replied, he said, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, does a child have rights over his father? He said, yes. He said, what are those rights? And the boy said that he should choose his mother give him a good name, and teach him the book, teach him the Quran. He said, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, my father didn't do any of those things. He never gave me a good name. He never chose somebody righteous to be my mother. And he never taught me how to recite the Quran, how to read the Quran. My mother was a mage and a fire worshipper. And he gave me a name, Khunfasa. And Khunfasa is like a dung beetle. So he gave him this kind of, you know, bad name. And he said, he never ever taught me not even one letter of the Quran. And so Umar radiallahu anhu turned to the father and he said, you've come to me complaining about your son being disobedient to you, yet you failed in your duty to him before he has failed in his duty to you. You have done wrong to him before he has wronged you. And so we were talking about this relationship between Ibrahim alayhi salam and his father. And, you know, sometimes we tend to recognize certain things in our own children, for example, that we're not happy with. They may be disobedient, they may be bad, doing bad things, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, when we don't give our children their rights, when we don't fulfill our obligations, when we don't have and show them the best example of what it is, what it means to be a father, what it means to be a Muslim, then of course they're just going to imitate what you do and how you speak and whatever it is that you do on a day-to-day basis. So it's a very important thing to remember how these akhlaq that we see in our children which we don't like could be as a result of how we were behaving in front of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that Ibrahim alayhi salam continued and he told him, Ya abati inni qad ja'ani min al-ilm. O my dear father, verily some knowledge has come to me, ma lam ya'tika, that hasn't come to you, that hasn't reached you. Fattabi'ni ahdika siratan sawiyya. So if you follow me, I will guide you to a straight path. I will guide you to the straight way. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, doesn't say to him, you don't know anything. You don't know nothing. What do you know? Ibrahim, the way Ibrahim alayhi salam speaks to him, he says, قَدْ جَاءَنِي مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. Some knowledge has come to me, مَا لَمْ يَأْتِكْ, that hasn't come to you. You haven't received some knowledge that I have received, that I've been given. So look at the way he structures the words. You know, nowadays, if a son knows something the father doesn't know, he's going to use it to his advantage and say, I'm going to teach my father today. Teach him a lesson. So he'll argue with him, and he has this new piece of information in the back of his mind, and he'll bring it out, and he'll say, yeah, that'll teach him to talk to me like that. Yeah, and it might be vice versa, the same thing, okay? We use knowledge sometimes as a weapon. Knowledge is a weapon, but, you know, in the right way. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's not trying to show this arrogance to his father. He's trying to show this humility. That some knowledge has come to me. Min al-ilmi. Min al-ilmi means some knowledge, from knowledge. Some knowledge has come to me. Ma lam ya'tik. That hasn't come to you, hasn't reached you. Maybe some information has come to you that you haven't had before. You haven't heard it yet. Just the way that Ibrahim alayhi salam is speaking to him shows the akhlaq and the etiquette that a man should have towards his parents, towards his family members. And, you know, it's in the nature of parents to feel like they know more than their children. That's the nature of parents. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, of course, understands this. And so this is why he's speaking in this way, so that the father doesn't feel threatened. But of course, the nature of this man who was committing shirk shows us his response. And Ibrahim alayhi salam continued, first of all, and he said, Ya abati la ta'bud ash-shaytan. Oh my dear father, don't worship shaytan. Inna shaytana kana lirrahmani asiyya. Verily the devil is disobedient to the most gracious, to Ar-Rahman. And it's interesting how Ibrahim alayhi salam doesn't say that shaytan is kana lillahi asiyya, that shaytan is to Allah the most disobedient. But he says to the most merciful. He uses the word, the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ عَصِيًّا. Verily, shaitan is to the most merciful, the one who is disobedient. He is disobedient to the most merciful. Why does Allah, why does Ibrahim a.s. use the name Ar-Rahman here? Why didn't he just say Allah? Because he's trying to make his father understand the mercy of Allah, that if you turn to Allah, Allah will forgive you for the sins you've committed. So look at the detail in terms of how Ibrahim a.s. is structuring his sentences and the things that he's saying. And reflect on how we speak to our, you know, family members. And we just say whatever we want to say, whatever comes out of our heads, you know, without even caring about the consequences of those things that we say. You know, sometimes we might swear in front of our children, and then our children start swearing, you know, a week later, 2 weeks later, sometime later. And we become furious with them, we become angry with them. We were just swearing in front of them like 2 weeks ago. What are you so upset about? Who do you think they learned this from? And the child now is confused. He's thinking, why is... He was just saying this 2 weeks ago. Why is it so bad for me to say? Why is he, you know, shouting at me? Why is he hitting me for saying this? And then you're giving confused, mixed messages. And so he'll feel like he's been oppressed. So you see the importance of being able to say the right things and being careful about what you say in front of your children and your family members. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us that Ibrahim continues and he says, Ya abati inni akhaf. Oh my dear father, I am afraid. I am afraid. An yamasaka adhabun min ar-Rahman. That the most merciful will afflict you with a punishment. Fatakuna lishaytani waliya. And so you'll become an ally of the shaytan instead. So again, look at the words. I'm afraid for you. Nowadays, we don't say that to our kids or to family members who are committing sins. You don't say, I'm afraid for you. When you say, I'm afraid for you, that something might happen to you, it shows this care and concern. When you say, you despicable child, when you disgrace them in that way, okay, they're not going to want to listen to you in the first place. You know, when the whole approach is wrong, they're just going to ignore you. You're humiliating them. When you show your concern, إِنِّي أَخَافُ, I'm afraid for you. I'm afraid what's going to happen to you as a result of this. You're showing you have a concern for them. You're afraid for the consequences of the actions that you might do. So again, it shows us the beauty of how Ibrahim a.s. is speaking to his father. And then you see the response of his father. Look at the effort Ibrahim a.s. is making in terms of how he's trying to speak, how carefully he's using his words. You know, how he's being soft and gentle and showing his love and affection, even though his father's committing shirk. His father replies and says, قَالَ أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَةِ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Are you renouncing our gods, O Ibrahim? Are you renouncing my God, O Ibrahim? لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ. If you don't stop this, I'm going to stone you alive. وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. So leave me alone for a while. Look at the response of his father. And look at the effort Ibrahim a.s. made. And, you know, imagine if we made this effort with our parents, with our children, with our relatives. We spoke in a nice way. We were careful with how we spoke. And we were soft and kind and loving and gentle and had hikmah. And they responded in the worst kinds of ways. You know, swearing at us, saying, who do you think you are talking to me about? You know, religion, and leave me alone, and you're a despicable person, and maybe swearing. How would we respond? We'd say, how? Look at the effort that I made. How dare you talk to me like this? And we'll respond with words worse than he even said to us. We'll say, that's gone out the window now. That didn't work. Now the gloves are off, isn't it? But look at how Ibrahim a.s. responds. And this shows you, subhanAllah, you know, we live in a society where strength is defined by how much you can lift in the gym, you know, how many moves, you know, in martial arts, or, you know, how you talk. That's how strength is defined. But anyone can speak tough. Anyone can, you know, throw a punch or throw a kick to a certain extent. Everyone can do those things. But true strength is, as the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, that لَيْسَ الْقَوْيُ بِالسِّرَاعِ. The strong one isn't the one who can take the other person down, wrestle the other person to the ground. But the strong one is the one who can control his anger. And controlling your anger can be using refraining from saying something or refraining from doing something. So when someone responds to you in a despicable way and you refrain, you hold your tongue, you stop yourself from saying something bad back, that's a sign of true strength. That's real strength, that's mental strength. And, you know, stopping yourself from harming somebody if he decides to harm you. It's hard, it's easy to hit somebody. You know, throwing a punch, throwing a kick, throwing something at them. But it's harder to stop yourself, especially if you've been hit. That's the sign of real strength. Knowing you're capable of doing something to somebody, but stopping yourself. You know, somebody hits you, somebody smaller than you, a sibling, a family member, someone younger than you, weaker than you, and they hit you. And they hit you and you respond and you think, you've made a big mistake. You don't know what's going to happen to you now. You're in trouble. Because we know what we're capable of. And so we hit them or, you know, beat them up twice as bad as they did to us, if it's a sibling or whatever the case may be. But, you know, refraining from harming somebody, you know, keeping your hands and your tongue safe from others is something which is part of Islam. And so we see the response of his father, and look at how Ibrahim alayhi salam now responds. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says, قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ, peace be with you. سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي, I will ask my Lord to forgive you. إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِحَفِيَّ, verily he has been kind to me. So he's responding by giving salam, saying peace be with you. You know, he's not responding in a harsh way. And on top of this, he's saying, I'm going to ask Allah to forgive you. Now, what's interesting is, you know, if this happened in our lives, in a scenario related to us and somebody else, and somebody was very harsh and cruel and rude towards us, and we responded by saying, you know, peace be with you, you know, I hope things work out for you, I'll ask Allah to make things easy for you, ask that Allah forgives your shortcomings. How would you think that person would feel after being rude to you and hearing that response? He's going to feel a sense of guilt, a sense of shame, isn't it? Because he's going to think, I wasn't expecting this. And so there's a psychological effect that it has on a person. When a person shows good akhlaq to a person, even though you're being rude to them, if you're rude to somebody, if they continue to show good akhlaq towards you, eventually you're going to soften towards that person. Because it's just not expected. It has that effect on an individual. And that really shows the beauty of hilm, which is being easygoing. You know, hilm, you know, a person having good akhlaq and good character. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says to him, وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, and I disassociate from you and from what you're worshipping besides Allah. وَدْعُوا رَبِّي, and I'm going to make supplication, dua to Allah, to my Lord. عَسَىٰ أَلَّا أَكُونَ بِدُعَاءِ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا, and I hope that I won't be disappointed in my prayer to my Lord. Meaning I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to my supplication. So he only left really when his life was in danger because his father was threatening him to be stoned. And it also shows us this constant good akhlaq and etiquette that one should have, especially with one's parents, and also keeping relations with your family members as close as you can, as much as you can. And obviously every single relationship that you have with a family member is different. And it's different from person to person, you know, and by, you know, on a case-by-case basis. Every single one of us has a different relationship with our fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, children, whatever the case may be. But a person should do whatever he can to keep his end of the bargain. You know, just keeping that contact as best as he can. Whether it's visiting, whether it's calling, whether it's texting, whether it's emailing, whatever it is. A person does whatever he can from his side. As for that person and the way he responds, or even if he doesn't respond, that's between him and Allah. But you do whatever you're able to do. And this is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يُبْسَطَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ, whoever is pleased that he is given more in terms of his wealth, وَأَنْ يَنْسَأْ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِ And that his life is prolonged, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ Then let him keep his ties of kinship. Let him keep relations with his relatives. And of course, the closest are those who are closest to us, our parents. So again, it shows us the benefits of keeping ties of kinship close. Allah will increase your longevity in life. Allah will increase your wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, فَلَمَّا اَعْتَزَلَهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَهَبْنَ لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ When he withdrew from them and from what they used to worship مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ from other than Allah, وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ We granted him and we gifted him and we blessed him with إِسْحَاق and يَعْقُوب وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا نَبِيًّا And we made all of them prophets of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Ibrahim alayhi salam to leave his home and his family and everything that he possessed, when he left everything behind for the sake of Allah, Allah replaced him with something even better. Children who were going to be prophets of Allah. And of course, he didn't know this at the time, that his descendants will be prophets. In fact, Ibrahim alayhi salam is called Abul Anbiya, father of the prophets, because every single prophet or messenger that came after Ibrahim was from his descendants. Every single one of them. Through Ishaq, Yaqub and Yusuf and Musa, Isa, Dawood, Suleiman, etc. And through Ismail, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So look at this blessing. And he sacrificed leaving his home and his family and where he was comfortable. And you have to remember, he's young in age. He's just turned into an adult. You could say around in his teens. And he's leaving home. What a big sacrifice he's making. And this also shows us his faith and how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him. So it also shows us not to be afraid of doing something haram, because Allah will take care of you if you leave something which is wrong, just like Allah took care of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So those of us who are involved in haram things, whether it's business or whether it's bad habits or whatever the case may be, when you leave those things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always reward you with something better. Allah will give you something better as a result. So this is the conversation Ibrahim alayhi salam had with his father. And there's this, kindness and affection and this wisdom when he was talking to his father in this way. And in Surah As-Saffat, Allah Azza wa Jal talks about the conversation Ibrahim alayhi salam had with his son now. Allah says, وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ Ibrahim alayhi salam, he left home and he said, Verily I am going to my Lord, he will guide me. Meaning leaving for the sake of Allah, he's leaving for the sake of Allah, and he's asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's aid. So he's reminding himself, I am leaving for the sake of Allah, sayahdeen, as a result of which he will guide me to the truth. Because I'm sacrificing, leaving behind everything that I know for the sake of Allah. And when a person does a good deed, he should always remember consciously the reward he will get as a result of doing that good deed. Because it makes those good deeds, the quality of those good deeds is better, he's more sincere. For example, when a person gives charity, he remembers the hadith, لَا يَنْقُصُ الْمَالُ بِصَدَقَةٍ That wealth doesn't decrease by one giving charity. When someone prays his nawafil prayers, the sunan al-rawatib, the 10 or 12 raka'at that a person has to pray in the day, the recommended nawafil, rawatib, the recommended sunnah prayers in the day, and the reward of how Allah will build for him a house in paradise when he offers those prayers. When those things are conscious in your mind, then as a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be closer to you. You'll be closer to Allah, because now there's this connection between you and those righteous deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh my Lord, give me one of the righteous. Bless me with righteous offspring. So you see, he's leaving for the sake of Allah. He's doing this good deed and he's asking Allah for something. He's supplicating to Allah. as a result of him leaving for the sake of Allah. Meaning when a person does a good deed, in fact, it's recommended when you do a good deed to supplicate to Allah after a person does a good deed. One of the times a person's dua is accepted is when he does a good deed and then he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something after doing a good deed, because he's making this link now. Ibrahim left everything for the sake of Allah and then he says, Rabbi habli min as-salihin, oh my Lord, give me from righteous offspring. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was building the Kaaba, for example, while he was building the Kaaba, he was making dua. Rabbi ij'al hadha al-balada amina. Oh Allah, make this, oh my Lord, make this place a place which is safe. Warzuq ahlahu. And provide for its people. And he supplicated for a prophet, a messenger to come from these people. So while he's doing a good deed, he's supplicating to Allah. So when a person does a righteous deed, he should make supplication, make dua to Allah. And that's a time when a person's supplication will be responded. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. So we gave him good news of a forbearing boy, a righteous boy, a boy who has this patience. Halim, meaning because he supplicated to Allah after doing this righteous deed, Allah responded. And the word, the letter fa here at the beginning shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was swift in his response to the supplication. فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ. So we gave him glad tidings of a forbearing boy, a boy that had hilm. He was forbearing. He was somebody who had this patience, this softness about him. And this was his child. Ibrahim alayhi salam was blessed with this child. And he was described as Halim. Ibrahim alayhi salam was also described as Halim in another part in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Inna Ibrahima لَحَلِيمٌ أَوَّاهُمْ مُنِيمٌ. Verily Ibrahim was forbearing, he had hilm, and he was grieving and frequently returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would always return back to Allah. Whenever he was distressed, he would turn back to Allah. And he was somebody who was forbearing. You know, he could handle, he would always return back to Allah. Whenever he was in a difficult situation, he would turn back to Allah. He was forbearing, he had this element of patience. Halim means to be patient, it means to be forbearing, to control yourself in times of anger and rage. And so this quality of Ibrahim was also given to his son. So when Ibrahim showed this good quality, this good character towards his father, for example, this character of hilm, showing forbearance, controlling his anger and his rage with the way his father spoke to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him by giving the same good attributes and good qualities to his son. So when a person has bad attributes that he possesses and he behaves in a bad way, he's rude, he swears, he's greedy, he's stingy, he's selfish, he's arrogant, he has pride, and then his child will also have those bad characteristics. And if a person has good characteristics like Ibrahim alayhi salam had, Allah will bless the child also to have those good characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know, ordered Ibrahim alayhi salam to leave his wife and his son Ismail in the middle of the desert. And he had trust in Allah that Allah would provide for them, even though this is one of the most difficult things a person can do. And when he was old enough, when Ismail was old enough, Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know the story of how they were left in the desert and Mecca was eventually established as a result of Allah blessing them with Zamzam water, which made them able to settle in that area. And eventually Ismail alayhi salam married into the Arabs. When he became older, Ibrahim alayhi salam would visit him regularly and his family and his wife. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي, that when he was old enough, meaning when Ismail was old enough alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam said to him, قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ, oh my dear father, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ, verily I see in a dream that I am sacrificing you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى, so what do you think? Now, this is very interesting because dreams are some of those things. We might have a dream and those dreams, we may not even tell our own spouses about those dreams. When you tell somebody about a dream, what does that show you about their relationship? That they're very close. They're very close. Because, you know, no random person is going to come to you and say, oh, I had this dream, and, you know, he'll start talking about his dream and opening up about his dream. It's a very personal thing. So when you tell somebody about a dream, you're telling somebody that you trust, somebody you love. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam telling his son about this dream shows us, telling him about this dream shows us the relationship that they had and how close they were to one another, this father and son relationship. And also he says, فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you think about this dream? Even though we know that prophets, whenever they were given dreams, those dreams were true. They were true dreams. And they were commands which had to be carried out because they were revelation from Allah in the form of a dream. But yet he's still asking his son, what do you think about this dream? He's asking for his opinion. And again, this shows us how important it is to talk to our children. And when they reach that age, when they become adults, the age of puberty, when they reach the age of, you know, when they're teenagers, to ask for their opinions in certain matters that we see fit and that we think are appropriate for them to be able to discuss and to respond to and give their opinions on. Because it gives them a sense of maturity, it makes them feel like they're adults. Even for adults, even for us, if somebody was to ask our opinion about something, how would we feel? We'd feel valued. We'd feel like, you know, this person values my opinion. He's respecting my opinion, what I think. So imagine the effects this would have on somebody who is young, on a teenager, asking for his opinion. What do you think? He'll think, why, my father's never asked me something like this before. You know, I better be careful about what I say. I want to say something good. I want to impress my dad now. It gives him a sense of maturity. And again, subhanAllah, there's so many lessons we can learn from this about their relationship. And if you think about this dream and him sacrificing his son, look at the response of Ismail alayhi salam. Because imagine, you know, your father comes to you and says, I had a dream that I was sacrificing you. You'd run a mile, you'd call the authorities, you'd say, look, my dad's threatening me, he's going to kill me. But look at what Ismail alayhi salam says. He says, Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. Oh my dear father, do whatever you've been ordered to do. Satajiduni insha'Allahu min as-sabirin. You'll find me, God willing, from those who are from the patient. When a person is obedient to Allah, just as Ibrahim alayhi salam was obedient to Allah in terms of obeying Allah, worshipping Allah, leaving shirk, leaving his homeland, building the Kaaba, leaving his family before that in the middle of the desert, all of these things. When a person obeys Allah, the more a person obeys Allah, it's one of those things which causes his own children to end up obeying him. Just like we see in this example. Ismail alayhi salam says, oh my dear father, do whatever you've been told to do. You'll find me from those who are patient. And patience here is when a person, you know, patience isn't just waiting. Sometimes we think patience is just waiting, you know, and not doing something that we shouldn't be doing. Patience is refraining oneself, al-imsak. It's stopping oneself from doing something which is wrong. You know, swearing, backbiting, gossiping, you know, harming somebody. When a person stops himself and refrains himself from doing those things, that's the sign of somebody who has patience. So of course, patience has levels. But that's true patience. Because you're having patience over, you know, something which has happened to you, something you've been afflicted with. And you're not complaining to Allah in a negative way. You're not asking, why did Allah do this to me? You know, why did this happen to me? And you're not complaining to Allah in a negative way as a result of what's happened. You're showing this patience. You're waiting for the relief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come to you as a result of this patience that you're showing. So, Ibrahim alayhi salam, as Allah says, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا, when they both submitted to Allah, وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينِ And Ibrahim put his forehead down on the ground because he was going to sacrifice him as he saw in the dream. Again, this shows us the submission to Allah that they both had. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمِ And then we called out to him, O Ibrahim. Why did Allah Azza wa Jal wait until he had his head down on the ground to see the commitment of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Sometimes relief doesn't come straight away when we're tested by Allah. Sometimes relief will come, you know, as we're going through those trials and tribulations and those struggles, and it gets harder and harder. Allah wants to see our breaking point, whether we're going to crack, whether we're going to break. And when we continue to show that persistence and that patience, then just when it's something which is too difficult to bear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us respite, Allah will show us relief, Allah will give us a way out. There's a story of this man who asked another man who had this quality of patience, show me how do you get this patience? How do you have this steadfastness? He said, I'll show you. I'll bite your finger and you bite my finger, and then I'll show you about patience. So they bit each other's fingers, and they were biting harder and harder. This is an interesting story. So somebody's thinking, what's going on here? Biting each other's fingers. So they bite each other's fingers harder and harder, and the one who was asking screamed out. Screamed out because it was too much for him to bear. And he moved his own finger out of the person's mouth. And so the man who had this quality of patience, he said to him, the reason why you screamed, or in fact, when you screamed, I just had that extra bit of patience and steadfastness and tolerance that you never had. Meaning it was just that much more. As soon as you screamed, okay, you took your finger out, I took my finger out, just as soon as you took your finger out. Meaning, it's just that little bit extra that you show that other people maybe don't show. It's just that one more step. You know, you're showing that extra patience, that extra hilm, forbearance that maybe others won't show. And it's just something extra that you do as opposed to giving up. You're showing that steadfastness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, we called out to Ibrahim. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ O Ibrahim, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا Verily you have fulfilled the dream, you have fulfilled the vision, the dream that you had. إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ This is how we reward the doers of good. Ibrahim did what he could to carry out the commandments of Allah. He tried his best. And when we do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for our efforts. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ This was clearly an evident test. It was a clear test. This was a test for you. Because this life, every single one of us, for every single one of us, this life is also a test. And every single thing that happens to us, we should remember, it's a test from Allah Azza wa Jal to see how we're going to respond, how we're going to react. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبِحٍ عَظِيمٍ And we redeemed him with a great sacrifice. Allah rewarded him for passing this test by replacing his son with a ram, with an animal that was sacrificed instead. وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ And we left him for later generations, meaning he will be loved and respected by people who came after him. Because these stories, you know, we've had them, and these incidents took place thousands of years ago. And again, this shows us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically chose incidents, stories, examples of things which the prophets and the messengers and the righteous did in their lives as an example to us. Allah could have chosen anything, but Allah chose these specific things. And this shows us the quality of the obedience of Ibrahim alayhi salam to his father, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, Salamun ala Ibrahim, peace be upon Ibrahim. So Allah is praising Ibrahim alayhi salam now as a result of him doing righteous deeds. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ This is how we reward the doers of good. Allah will only reward those who do good deeds and those who strive to do good deeds. The more a person strives for the sake of Allah, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Verily he is from our believing servants. Iman, when somebody has faith. Not just, he wasn't just a Muslim, he was ibadin al-mu'mineen. He was a believing slave. He had iman, he had faith. وَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِإِسْحَاقِ نَبِيًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And we blessed him, we gave him the good news of another child, Ishaq, another prophet, somebody who was from the righteous. So look at how, when a person does righteous deeds, Allah rewards him as a result of his perseverance, as a result of his good deeds. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was going to sacrifice his one and only son, who he had at an old age, some say around 80 years old. He had his child Ismail alayhi salam. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his test with his son Ismail alayhi salam, Allah blessed him with another child as a result. So again, this shows us the importance of doing righteous deeds and how Allah rewards people depending on the types of deeds that they do. وَبَارَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ إِسْحَاقِ. We blessed him and we blessed Ishaq. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِهِمَا مُحْسِنٌ وَظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ مُبِينٌ. But among their descendants are those who are righteous, and among those are those who are unjust to themselves, they were oppressors. So not only did Allah bless Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son, but Allah blessed him by giving him descendants who were prophets of Allah. And some were righteous and some weren't. But when a person obeys Allah and is obedient to Allah, Allah will bless him with righteous offspring the more one obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, we'll conclude here. But one of the most important lessons we can learn here is how important it is to conduct ourselves a certain way when we speak and when we behave, and how we speak and how we behave with our family members, and the results, how it can affect us, our lives, how it can affect our children's lives, how it can affect our connection and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us this forbearance and steadfastness with regards to our worship towards Him, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us people who are a good example to our family members. Yeah, if there's any questions, then I'll do my best to answer them, inshallah. Any questions? Okay, JazakAllah khair.